We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at The Score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
Bears writer for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I don't really like doing the radio, man.
Yes.
I don't like doing sports radio like the typical. That's why I've wanted to be on your show, because your show is, what's the word for it? Interesting.
Jason Leisure, host of the Sports Adjacent podcast. His takes will leave you speechless.
It feels like there is some hateration and holleration in this dancery, because I do feel like Jason and Tony, there's a little bit of hate there.
I'm not sure what holleration means. I'll just be upfront with that. I can figure out hateration. I'm not sure about holleration.
Jason Leisure with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Jason Leisure on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. He of the Chicago Sun-Times. He on Twitter at Jason Leisure. And he who didn't get to hear me yell, "Hurry, let's go," because I completely brain farted on that. But he is still with me here for the aforementioned segment that we are going to do here. Just talking about everything under the sun. We will get to some football as well. But Jay, because so much of your professional existence right now revolves around the Bears, and they're not in the playoffs, but they're trying to hire key people. I'm curious how your weekend, because I'm, you know, since Bears aren't doing anything and college football is over, I got a little more free time. This coming weekend, man, you got any suggestions for me for, you know, should I just park it in front of the TV, take in all the playoff action? Are you about to do anything else? You got anything you're watching now? Like, do you feel like you got more time available?
No, not very much time at all, except on those game days, maybe, because obviously the Bears aren't playing. I'm a little more free to sit and watch. But it's, you don't have that daily grind of going up to Hallis Hall every day and covering practice and writing about the game and then going to the game. But you have just every day a thousand little emergencies about the head coach and GM search. But I do enjoy and highly recommend to you, yes, sit down, like, get comfortable, get your favorite food and drink, get the fireplace on, watch some playoff football this weekend, because you and me and everybody else in Chicago has sat through way too much bad football. And when you turn this on, when I turn on like a good Chiefs game or something, I'm like, oh, wait, maybe I actually like football. I forgot about this.
Yeah, is that what you were thinking when Matt Nagy was blowing it late in the game in Kansas City back in 2017? Were there still that hopeful temperament to things, even though he didn't quite get that worked out? Who knows? If anything, some of the candidates who are out there who may end up, who have already been interviewing, will continue to interview for this Bears gig. It can certainly be a part of that evaluation process. How do you go about just trying to sift through what's worthy of your attention just in covering this on a daily basis between the GM and the head coach, Ed Dodd pulling out? I mean, what does that really mean? What does it matter? How do you kind of get your mind wrapped around how much you have to pay attention to each little nugget?
It's a challenge. This is one of the hardest things that you have to do as a beat reporter of any sport, is when you have a coaching change and then a coaching search like this. I had it when I covered University of Florida, and Urban Meyer stepped away unexpectedly, but they hired Will Muschamp within like 3 days. So it was not nearly as complicated as what we're going through now, where the Bears have double-digit candidates for both positions. I think it's always a combination on this job, and I'm sure that you know this too, Ant. Like, there's some element of this in your work as well, where it's a combination of what do people want to know, and the readers or the listeners or the viewers, and what do I think they should know? What am I sitting here seeing? And I'm like, hey, you guys should really pay attention to this. It's always a combination of both. It's always trying to answer the questions that people are looking for, like, hey, what's the deal with Matt Eberflus or things like that, or telling him, hey, Brian Flores, pay attention to this. Brian Flores, really, really good, strong candidate for them. So it's a combination of the two throughout the search for both of these new hires.
Does the timing matter? Like, is it important for the Bears to continue figuring out what candidate suits them, or do they need to sort of really focus on who is the best candidate available and get to that person as quickly as possible because you don't want to miss out? The word about this cycle is that it's deep, and I feel like it's a deep cycle right now too. But in the end, it's not like eight teams are going to hire great coaches. Somebody's going to fall on their face.
Yeah, I do think that there are, both for the GM openings, I think there's four GM openings, is that right?
And sounds right, yeah.
Head coaches. I do think in both categories there are more good candidates than there are openings. So in a way, the Bears could get lucky and stumble and still end up with a good coach, because I think there's more than eight good candidates for that, and I think there's more than four good GM candidates. If I were them, I would go all in with all of my attention and all my resources right now on finding the right GM. I think that's stalling things for them. And I have never liked this idea of them proceeding with coaching candidates without a GM in place. And there are a few specific guys that are problematic in that regard. When you look at Brian Flores, did a pretty good job coaching-wise in Miami. Why is he out and available? It's because he had a rift with the GM. Doug Peterson, same thing. Jim Harbaugh, if you're going in and talking to him, same thing. There are a few of these guys that are very attractive candidates to me, and the baggage that they carry is trouble working with their past GM for one reason or another. And it would seem a little bit dangerous to me to hire one of those types of candidates without already having the GM in place.
Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times here with me on the Lawrence Holmes Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier stock went skyrocketing over the weekend from understandable reasons. But I'm wondering if you're the Bears, frankly, if you're any team looking for their next head coach, can you allow yourself to be steered by that without necessarily taking the full body of work into account? Should these postseason games we're seeing be weighted really heavily, as the general public seems to be sort of providing weight to it?
A little bit, especially with the coaches. You're trying to see how they scheme against the other best of the best coaches. So, like Todd Bowles, for example, when I hear Todd Bowles' name, I don't really think about him, his failed stint with the Jets. I think of that Super Bowl last year where he just made life miserable for the best quarterback in the game and pretty much negated Patrick Mahomes, something that is extremely rare and extremely difficult to do. I'd like the Bears going and picking around at the staffs, both in personnel and coaching, on the good teams. I mean, it makes a lot more sense to go sniffing around the guys in Buffalo, Kansas City, Tampa, whatever, than it does to go looking around to see who's available from Jacksonville's staff. But you don't know that can be replicated. They're really fixated on the Bills in a lot of ways. They're looking at Joe Shane, the assistant GM, or whatever his title is there. They're looking at Daboll, Frazier, and why wouldn't you? Of course you'd look at that. Of course you'd say they inherited a team that had been bad for so long. I think it was from 2000 to 2016, something like that. There was a span where the Bills were the only team in the league that didn't make the playoffs, the only one out of 32. And they took that and have built it into what you see now, a team that could win the Super Bowl. And you see Daboll take a quarterback like Josh Allen and turn him into one of the best quarterbacks in the game when there were a lot of issues that he had to work through when he got drafted. But if it was that easy to replicate, then all these Bill Belichick coaching tree guys would have been extremely successful. Then if it was that easy to replicate what you've done in one place or what your boss has done in one place, then the Detroit Lions would be this powerhouse under Matt Patricia, and obviously it didn't happen. So you don't know. Brian Daboll, for example, did that with Josh Allen. Could he have done that with Mitch Trubisky? Probably not. So while Brian Daboll could be very helpful to Justin Fields, for example, it's really going to come down to how good Fields is. It's not going to be about the coach necessarily.
So let me play my contention out for you. I'm curious for your thoughts. When you look at the last few hires here, like, you know, after Lovie Smith, and this is pretty much just in the time that George McCaskey's been running the show for the Bears day to day. So you go to Mark Trestman, which, you know, was sort of this outside the box, seemingly, you know, potentially forward thinking move to go with somebody outside the NFL, but an offensive mind to develop your talented QB. Flames out, so they move on quickly in 2 years. Then you go in the opposite direction. Let's get the staunch established guy who's taken a couple of different teams to the Super Bowl and more of a defensive idea in your head coach there. All right, doesn't go well through three seasons. You move on from John Fox, and now here's your Kansas City Chiefs, you know, under Andy Reid coaching tree. A lot of those guys have had success. You give Matt Nagy 4 years, a good amount of winning, but make the decision to move on there. My contention is that through all those different regimes and Ryan Pace being responsible for 7 years of that, so the bulk of that time, obviously not including the Mark Trestman era there, but none of those guys ascended. The Bears didn't improve under any of them, and it just seems to me that beyond, because I don't have an issue looking back with the personnel, with the individual head coach hire. I don't really take issue with either one of them for the hire that was made at the time. I just don't quite get why none of them got better where they were here. And that seems to me like something the Bears need to evaluate as much as hiring a desirable candidate, because that's what they tend to do. They hire desirable people. Those people don't tend to excel when they're at Hallis Hall for some reason. And it feels to me like that's as much of a concern, as much as something the Bears need to dissect, as just saying, all right, we got someone who's got a resume that makes sense here.
Yeah, you're talking about a total structural issue. More so than just
like
who
that.
Happens to hold those jobs at the times and at the time. And you're right. And I've always thought there's an issue with a lack of accountability football wise in that way for the Bears, where who's evaluating Ryan Pace the last 7 years? Who's the person saying, hey, this isn't going right. Something needs to change. And I also, as a person who has football expertise in the background, know what it is you need to change. They don't have that. It's been Ryan Pace problem solving and Ryan Pace deciding whether Ryan Pace has been doing a good job, because in the end he and Nagy have been reporting to non-football people basically in McCaskey and Phillips. So I think if you brought someone in, and it's funny that George McCaskey is saying he doesn't see anything magical about a football czar, yet every time he needs to hire a coach and GM, he brings in a football czar to help him temporarily. I mean, it shouldn't be Bill Polian, but it would be good to have somebody like that. It would be good to have a president of the team with a football background who could not only hold people accountable for whether things are indeed headed the right way or whether, you know, George McCaskey is just kind of falling for a sales pitch for these guys to keep their jobs about Matt Nagy telling us, what was it, last summer, oh, year four is the year that this offense clicks. When he said that, I could hear him. I could just picture in my mind him saying that to George McCaskey. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, if there was somebody there with the credibility and the knowledge and the background to challenge that and confront that, I think that would go over a lot differently. And I think things would be handled a lot differently at Hallis Hall.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Jay, because as I'm just kind of going through in my mind here, like, what is the best way for them to fix it? Not having a football czar has certainly not led to any sustained success for the Bears. While at the same time, you look around the league and not everyone has this football czar. Some teams just have the coach doing both. Some teams have coach and GM, and some teams do have that president of football ops who oversees the general manager and the staff and everything else. And I'm wondering, does that, like, it doesn't strike me as something crazy for George McCaskey to say, I don't know football, because owners don't know football. It doesn't strike me as ridiculous for him to say that there's nothing magical about a football czar, because not everyone uses them. While at the same time, the Bears, in not using them, it has not worked. And so is that where the answer is, just structurally within that, just the fact that you haven't done it this way and it hasn't been good enough? So is it because even the football czar would answer to George at some point. There's always a top football guy who's answering to ownership.
Yeah, you're right. And George McCaskey pointed that out. But I think you hit the bullseye on that. I think maybe every team doesn't need this. And maybe this isn't some kind of magical answer to your problems. But you've tried it your way, and here we are. So this might be worth a look if you're the Bears.
Mm-hmm. No, I do feel you on that, without a doubt. Jason Leisure of the Chicago Sun-Times here with us on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Do you think that once a hire gets made, it feels to me like, you know, whenever Bill Polian, because George McCaskey obviously was very nondescript and you know, sort of feigned amnesia when asked about when Bill Polian came in and started operating.
Yeah, but
it was at some point during the season. Yeah, right. It was at some point during the season. So it feels to me like there should have been perhaps a list of candidates. There should have been a procedure in place. So I'm wondering, is it fair to expect that if the Bears aren't the first ones to sort of pull the lever on making a hire, but then once some hires get made, that they will be ready to move quickly from there? Because, you know, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, there had been years of evaluation already in place. I don't think they decided the night after the regular season finale to move on from them. So is it fair to expect that they should be ready to move quickly if the market starts to churn?
No, I don't think so. I think they'll move quickly on a GM. I do think there's some element to this with the coaches where it's like the draft where the first team that drafts a tight end, all of a sudden there's a run on tight ends or something like that. So I do think once somebody makes a coaching hire, there's going to be another team saying, oh, we wanted that guy. We better pounce on our number two choice while he's still available. And then you see the domino effect of things start to happen. But the Bears set themselves back, put themselves at a disadvantage unnecessarily. And if they have Bill Polian in the building during the season, it's not because things are going well. It's because they know something's wrong, and they need to figure out how wrong it is and who all needs to go. And they needed to make that decision in December, especially at the GM level. You really could have put yourself in position to be ready to hire a GM very quickly, and then you'd be ready to act on a coaching candidate that you like. But because they haven't done that, I just feel like they're so far behind. And maybe you look at a case like Minnesota, for example, where they fired the coach and GM. And I don't know the details of their situation because I don't follow them every day. I don't cover them. But I could imagine a world where the Vikings were really having a hard time making that decision. This decision that the Bears were trying to make when they brought in Bill Polian to help kind of give some credibility to that decision of getting rid of Pace and Nagy, that's been obvious for so long that they needed to do that. That's been, in the most like conservative estimate, that's been clear to them since late November. And because they didn't act on that, now they're in a position where they're at a disadvantage to some of the teams that didn't fire their GM and are ready to act on hiring a coach.
Well, we will obviously be watching very, very closely who the individual is that they hire. I mean, a lot of the names sound cool, but then once they hire, there's still going to be some work to get done once they get in the doors over there at Halas. We know you will cover it as well as anyone, Jason Leisure. What's on the menu for you this weekend when you're sitting down watching these games? What you got in front of you?
Oh, man. Both of my kids like to cook. Both of my daughters like to cook. One of them likes to bake, and one of them likes to cook. Like dinner type thing. So I'm sure I'll be helping them in the kitchen, making some Italian food, making some cupcakes or something. And then sitting down for the late Saturday night game, just shoveling it all down my gullet.
Okay. So you're going to pass out at halftime in the second game then, is what that sounds like. Between Italian food and baked goods, you are not going to last.
You might be right. But hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah, man, that's the worst ways you can spend your weekend. Well, enjoy it, man. We look forward to hollering at you again.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
All right, that is Jason Leisure of the Chicago Sun-Times on Twitter, at Jason Leisure. Join me on the Circle Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline. We'll take a time out, come back. I got KG. Kendall Gill will join us next to discuss the latest on what's happening with the Chicago Bulls. We'll do that on the Lawrence Holmes Show. I am Anthony Herron, sitting in for the great Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhones iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Right corner, bullseye! Ayodosunbu is on fire from three-point range in 35 minutes. He's 3 of 4. He's got a 17-point, 7-assist game. DeRozan off a side screen from Vooch. Dribble drive. DeRozan to the rim. Count it! And a foul! Double D with a hoop of the horn and one.
You know that voice. You hear it every time the Bulls play a basketball game. You hear it right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our thanks, Chuck Swirsky, Bullseye-o. Certainly like that one, man. He is a sharpshooter all of a sudden. Many of us weren't necessarily anticipating that. The ever-expanding game of Ayodosunbu on display more and more. If the Bulls have been kind of ravaged by COVID pauses and injuries and you name it, but it has led to more opportunities for the former Illini great, who is now an outstanding Bulls rookie and a man who knows a thing or two about being an Illini great, is with me right now on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. You see him every time on NBC Sports Chicago. You can find him on Twitter at KendallG13. That is Kendall Gill with me now on the Lawrence Holmes Show. Kendall, what's happening, man?
Hey, and Aaron, how you doing, man? You know, you could have been in a line 9 grade, too, but you chose to go to Iowa.
Yeah, man, yeah, some of those moments where you got the fork in the road, you're making certain decisions. I grew up, man, I wanted to be Horace Grant more so than I wanted to be Richard Dent. I just kind of capped out around that 6'3 range, so I decided to apply my football trade down in Iowa City. There's a lot for us to discuss with this Bulls squad, especially the news now about Lonzo Ball. But I do want to start with last night's game, especially watching you and Goff there afterwards. And you just seemed really excited about the game that Vooch had and the style of play that was on display from Nikola Vucevic. And I'm wondering, the combination of Vooch making a decision to get into the post and really call for the ball more frequently, or is there an element of it where I wonder if Billy Donovan needs to just sort of call plays, call actions to isolate Vooch in the post more frequently? Where does that balance lie?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. You saw Vooch on one play last night where he got the basketball mid-post, maybe about 17 feet, and he had Jared Allen in, and he just decided just backing down. And that's what that was all Vooch right there. That wasn't Billy Donovan calling that play. But Billy Donovan did call plays to get Vooch the basketball down low and, you know, just play like a traditional big man. I think that, you know, now a lot of the big guys in the league have fallen in love with the three-point shot, and that's really exclusively all they want to do instead of just, you know, there is room for post play in today's game, you know. And when you need a tough two, that's where you need to go. And also, when Vooch goes down there, you saw last night in the second half where he caught basketball. Cleveland double-teamed him. Io saw it and cut right to the basket. And Vooch gave him the basketball for an easy layup. So not only does it present scoring opportunities for Vooch, it makes everybody else better. Because if he continues to score down there the way that he scored last night, he's going to command double teams, and that's just going to leave everybody else open. And the game is going to be easier for everybody.
Without Zach LaVine in the lineup right now, is there maybe going to be less of a responsibility to sort of unclog the middle of the lane between DeRozan and LaVine and, you know, Ayo's to a certain extent now also? I'm wondering do you think Vooch, in addition to kind of what you're talking about with those kind of modern big man sensibilities wanting to shoot at three, is there – Does he feel a responsibility to unclog the middle for some of the other guys? Is he deferring in that way too much?
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think that he's just going with what's nouveau riche in the league, and that's a big man shooting threes. You know, so but you saw yesterday, and it actually happened because Vooch has been in a couple slumps this year. But when he got out of the first slump, that's what he did. He went to the post, and they gave him the basketball, and he shot a high field goal percentage. Listen, I don't have any problem with him going out there and shooting three every once in a while. But, you know, when you're taking 5-6 threes a game and you're a center at 7 feet tall, that's too much for me. You know, I need you to be down in the lane, play the big man game so that, one, you can score, and two, you make everybody else better because you command double teams. That's what I need from you.
Especially because he's just so effective at it. It might be one thing if he wasn't great, but he's got the moves, he's got the touch, he can dish it out from there. They can run the offense through him like you were touching on after the game last night too. So no surprise, a number of great points there that you have about Vooch. And getting Alex Caruso back into the lineup last night, he was that shot of adrenaline that the Bulls seemed to be missing at times. And in a way, it felt like Ayo began to become that, in addition to just being effective when they add Ayo into the lineup. But he started being like that true sixth man off the bench when Caruso was out on each end of the court, not just infusing energy into the offense, but like taking really tough defensive assignments. So what can the Bulls lineup be, and especially with Lonzo Ball having an extended absence that we'll talk about in a moment, but what can the Bulls lineup be having both Ayo Dosunmu and Alex Caruso available to them?
It can be exactly what you saw last night, you know, where you saw defensively them getting after it and them knocking down shots. In secondary fast break, you saw Ayo Dosunmu late in the game when DeMar drove down the right side of the court, leaving Ayo wide open. Now his teammates trust him to knock down that shot because he's been doing it consistently now. Also, with Caruso, you have a guy that comes back. He changed the whole complexion of the defense yesterday. Didn't have a big stat game, but it was all the things that you don't see on the stat sheet. The way that he helped on defense, the way that he was able to guard Cleveland's big man. He guarded Kevin Love last night. He guarded I think Evan Mobley last night, and gave those guys problems in the post. He's only 6'5", 6'6". These guys are 7 feet tall, but he was able to get the job done. And it's something to be said about someone's presence on the floor. When you know you got that guy on the floor, it makes everybody else's intensity rise. Say, okay, we got our defensive guy back. That's what you saw last night.
Who's a decent comp for Caruso? Is there a guy from your playing career that you looked at and said, you know what, he might kind of have a little bit of that kind of scrappy guy or the hustle man label to him, but there's some overall skill that goes with the energy that Caruso plays with too. He distributes the ball well. He shoots it well enough from outside also. But then, yes, his money is made being this guy that just brings energy and defense. Is there somebody you've been comping him to at all this season?
Not really. I think that he's like the first player that I've seen that can do all of the things as effectively as he does. We didn't see this in LA because he didn't get the opportunities that he's gotten here in Chicago. He's able to handle the basketball. He's able to run the offense. He's able to score when you need him to. He's able to play 1 through 5 defensively. He can play all of those guys. And also he provides that help defense. So, you know, I think he's a role player, but he's an all-star role player, if you get what I'm saying. You want an all-star role player on your team because he just fulfills so many needs for your team at any given time. And the one thing about him, he is consistent. Every time he comes in the game, he's going to give you that consistent play. I think that's why his teammates love him so much and why Billy Donovan relies on him so much.
Kendall Gill on the Lawrence Holmes Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Anthony Herron in for the great Lawrence Holmes. You can find Kendall on Twitter at KendallG13. He joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. The Lonzo Ball news, you know, they've been resting him for a few days, evaluating how the knee might recover. I've had multiple knee surgeries in the past, both during my playing career and since then. And, you know, part of the evaluation is likely with stuff like this. He's dealt with meniscus issues before. Can they can they repair it? Are you just going to get it removed? What's the recovery time looking like? Have you had a situation similar to that? Have you had many knee issues in the past? And do you think it was a tough decision for Lonzo Ball to go ahead and get it repaired?
Yeah, I had a knee issue at one point in my career. It kept me out for most of the season. And I was faced with the decision of whether can I play through it or really – if I continue to play through it, have a catastrophic injury. And, you know, that's something that I didn't elect to do. I elected to have the surgery. So I totally understand where Lonzo's head is at this point. He had trouble in the same knee in L.A. So, you know, I'm behind him 100% to go ahead and get it repaired, because if he doesn't at this point, then, you know, it could linger on and turn into perhaps, God forbid, a career-ending injury. So you got to get it taken care of right now.
And with that being the case, then the reports are that, you know, he's expected, the Bulls saying that, you know, 6 to 8 weeks in that range. So in theory, he comes back healthy at that point. Still plenty of time for the stretch run and the playoff chase and everything else. But in that time, if he's out for upwards of 2 months, where do the Bulls go to try and cover up for that, to have someone else's role enhanced in the time that Lonzo Ball will be out?
Well, I think that guy's already arrived in Iodasumo. You know, he's shown that he can play big time minutes. He's practically the same size as Lonzo. Lonzo's 6'6", Io about 6'5.5". But Io has come on so fast, and he knows, he's adapted to the pro game so fast that, you know, I like him as a compliment to Lonzo Ball. Yeah, we're going to miss Lonzo and everything that he does, pushing the basketball and everything. But you saw Io out there last night, how he was driving to the basket, how he was dishing to his teammates. I think that now that Lonzo out, the progression of Io is just going to increase. There's a wonderful opportunity for him. Also, Coby White has been playing great basketball for the past, I don't know, what, 3-4 weeks. So, you know, I think that the guys can handle it. You know, Lonzo's a big loss, but I'm glad we have those two guys ready.
What do you think it does for the potential? Because the discussion was already going on about if the Bulls add someone, who the Bulls add, how much they may be willing to risk, or any of this young talent that they may be willing to try and use in a transaction to get some more depth for this upcoming playoff push. Do you think, now Lonzo being out for an extended time, does that change that dynamic or that discussion for who the Bulls may be willing to move?
Yeah, I think it does change the dynamic, because everybody had talked about Coby White as being a piece in a trade to acquire a big man of value. So I think that Coby White, now you can kind of forget that discussion, because now that Lonzo is going to be out for a significant amount of time, you got two guys at 6'5" that can really play. I think you have to hold on to those guys. So if we do acquire help for the playoffs in a big man, it's going to have to come by some other means.
Kendall, appreciate your time, man. You always are outstanding on pre, half, post,
you name it. Thank you.
It's fun, man. It's fun to watch you and your reaction to what the Bulls have going here, because it was really easy to get on board with how they were working. And tough stretch that they're coming off of here, but I do think that they're starting to get some things figured out as the lineup gets healthy.
Yeah, it'll things will get figured out. They're going to play. You know, we got Milwaukee tomorrow night. I'm interested to see what they do against them. Of course, they got Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the best players in the league, but they got a big hole in the middle. So I want to see Vucevic do the same thing he did to Cleveland, to the Milwaukee Bucks. And I appreciate it, man. You know, when you got a great product to sell, it becomes fun on the show. That's why we're having so much fun. Yeah,
you, Jason, Will, you guys have a blast at all times, and it is fun to watch you on NBC Sports Chicago. Be tuned in for all of that and more as you guys keep it rolling, man. We'll talk to you soon, KG.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
That is the great Kendall Gill on Twitter, at KendallG13, of course, of the Bulls pre, half, and post-game show there on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm going to take a time out and come back. There was something that happened, and the fine just came out for Bruce Arians. And it made some situations I was in myself as a player pop into my head, and a little bit of a warning that I think should go out to folks in similar circumstances that they have found themselves in before. Get into that and get ready to transition. We got Danny Parkins coming up here in just a short time. But I do have a little story time with Uncle Ant I want to get into here on the other side of this timeout.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Bruce Arians comes in. He's pretty excited. He takes a whack at Adams. I don't know if he's not exactly sure what that's about. Bruce Arians not moving particularly well over there either. As Andrew Adams was pulling one of the Eagles out of the pile, which is a foul, by the way, if they want to flag it. And Arians came in and whacked him on the side of the helmet.
Look, man, Bruce Arians has been at this for a minute. He waited a long time to get his head coaching opportunities. First one came in that interim sort of variety for Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis. He did well there. He's done extremely well as a head coach. And there's a whole lot of Bears fans out there who wish Bruce Arians were the coach here. And that opportunity would have been there years ago. And, I mean, the man can coach football and he can lead men. So I would imagine if he were the Bears coach right now, he would probably be successful here in Chicago. Doesn't mean he's infallible. And as far as I can tell from what happened over the weekend in that game where Bruce Arians takes a, let's call it a swipe or a swing or whatever term you might throw on it, at his safety, Andrew Adams, you know, I certainly don't think Bruce Arians need to be tossed in jail, but I'm glad. And, you know, $50,000 is certainly a lot of money to most of us. Bruce Arians got it. So I don't know if he's going to lose much sleep at night over it, but it at least is a hefty enough fine where it draws anyone's attention, I would imagine, in that scenario. Didn't necessarily sound like he had much of a reaction afterwards that he regretted anything there. Bruce Arians is 69 years old, and if his player, if his defender, Andrew Adams, would have taken enough exception to it to go back at Bruce Arians, the thing could have got ugly. And I've been in somewhat of that scenario a couple of different times. I've never had a coach take a true swing at me. And, you know, most of you out there don't, like, know me. But I think you can tell I'm a guy who, at least by football terms, I'm not like a full-on, like, just meathead. But when you're in the heat of the moment, man, I've at the collegiate level at Iowa, I went after an assistant on the sidelines at Iowa one time because they decided to yell something at me that I didn't like, and I had to be pulled off of that individual. In the NFL, it was my position coach at one point, one of the NFL teams I was with. This was just in a morning workout where they said something that came across in what I found to be a somewhat challenging manner. I had to get pulled off of that individual, and it happened in the Arena League as well. And unfortunately, my father-in-law was at that game where in the midst of an intense moment in an arena football game where somebody had to pull me off the offensive coordinator during an arena football game. So my point being here that for me, I'm fairly certain, especially for like a defensive player in the professional realm in the National Football League, I am such where if I was a little more of a meathead, if I was a little bit more of a kind of a just a dense and just naturally aggressive or angry type individual, then I'd have had a lot more of those scenarios because things are heated and intense on professional football sidelines, on National Football League sidelines, especially in a playoff game. But take heed, take a lesson, coaches, from moments like that, because I did see a lot of commentary out there about, like, well, if you had a problem with that, then you've never been coached hard before. Man, I've been around as hard a coaching and as hard on individuals as you could ever hope for. That doesn't mean that somebody gets to put their hands on you in some kind of aggressive manner in those moments. One thing, you grab them by the arm, you pull them out of there, hey, if you want to grab his face mask, you grab his shoulders and get in his face, and you want to yell, scream, shout, all right. If you're doing something that makes it seem like you want to fight, then a whole lot of players out there, even guys like myself, who I probably could have benefited from being even more of a meathead during my playing career and had that switch flip a little easier for me. But when it comes down to it, the player is the one who's being put in more jeopardy, in more harm's way. Because if Andrew Adams, once Bruce Arians decided he was going to slap him in the head, if Adams hauls around and punches Bruce Arians in the nose or goes all Pedro Martinez, and Pedro Martinez handled the Don Zimmer thing years ago as well as you could have with some old man attacking you during a sporting event, but the player, the young guy, the one who's fit and in shape, who could very easily harm the older football coach, you're putting him in jeopardy. You're putting your player in jeopardy when something like that takes place. I hope the coaches, not only just from the perspective of recognizing that, yeah, you can try to tiptoe that line and have an intense moment, make sure you're righting whatever's the wrong that you feel like your player's in the midst of there. That intense stuff is going to happen, whether it's discussions or shouting, maybe even occasionally calling somebody out their name. You put your hands on somebody in the wrong way, things can get ugly. Not only for that coach, but you are putting your player, you're putting that athlete that in theory, I'm sure Bruce Arians cares a lot about Andrew Adams, but that's the type of thing he needs to factor into that moment. Because if Andrew Adams doesn't react accordingly and he does something to Bruce Arians, he's going to be scarred. His career will be marred with that for the rest of his life. So any coaches out there, not just in the NFL, when you're in those types of leadership positions, make sure you factor that in, man, because these things are intense. They're heated. I get it. But the person in the leadership position, once you cross that line, that person who is in some ways your subordinate is in a lot more jeopardy than you are. And Andrew Adams, if he wouldn't have had that sort of more, I'll call it calm reaction, then things could have gotten out of hand there. So make sure anybody who works with people, who works with youth athletes, who works with professional athletes like Bruce Arians, make sure you factor that stuff in, man, because if they decide they're going to cold cock you in that moment, you may deserve it, but they're going to be the ones who have their careers marred from that. Let me go ahead and get out of the way. We got transition coming up next with Danny Parker. He's got Solo Parko coming up here, so I will do that after this timeout on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.